Last fall, an independent investigation into Prince George's County public schools found fraudulent graduation rates and great tampering across the school system. That follows several years of scandals, including cases of sexual abuse of students. But here with us now to tell us himself how he's addressing these issues is the chief executive officer of Prince George's County Public Schools, Kevin Maxwell. He joins us in studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Last week, three school board members in Prince George's County alleged that there were pay raises of as much as 12% to employees in the school district's human resources department. What do you know about this? Fox 5 News says it has verified that the raises occurred and that if you didn't order them, you at least knew about them since mid-February.
Yeah, so thank you for that question. So there were some hotline complaints that came into our system, and I believe they came in before the holidays, before the winter break, and were handled appropriately. An investigation was launched, and there were allegations that eight individuals had salaries changed without the proper authorization. I think it's important to note that I believe with the hotline complaints coming in and the auditors looking into it, that it shows how the system is working for us. Of the allegations of eight, six were determined to have actually had that happen. And so, we're taking the appropriate action to make correction. And the issue for those six is that they're members of a bargaining unit and that, that we need to abide by the contract. And short of, doing a desk audit or an evaluation or a reclassification of positions, they need to abide by the contract, by the lane and steps that they're on according to the contract. So, again, we're going to address that issue. The outgoing head of HR, who retired, signed those forms and indicated that he believed he had the authority to do it. The auditors, the legal folks, disagree that he had that authority. And so, again, we're going to make the correction. And then the other thing that we're doing is we're going to have a sign-off. The chief of human resources in the district has, for a very long time, had the authority over salaries in the district, placement, adjustments, and things. So we're going to put in another level of somebody else has to sign off at my level of the organization so that check and balance is in place.
Well, those raises came after a request by the same board members for a 4% raise in teachers' wages was rejected. Care to comment on that?
I'd be happy to comment on that because there's things being left out of the conversation. By law, we have to negotiate with our bargaining units. And in fact, there have been grievances against the district for publicly setting a amount of money in front of people and saying this is what we're going to give you or what we're not going to give you or the cap on what we're going to give you. And that's not the legal protocol. That's not how that works. On that very same night at the board meeting, the Board of Education approved the negotiated agreements that they had before them. A multi-year agreement included for teachers has been approved by the board. Since my tenure began, we've increased funding for teacher salaries by $100 million in the now 4.5 years that I've been back in the district as CEO. I believe, actually, that was done to try to make it look like people don't support teacher raises when, in fact, they do, and we have negotiated with them every year. Almost every year since I've been there, teachers have received a step in Prince George's County, which is equivalent to approximately 3%, and in multiple years have also received a cost of living adjustment. So I think if you go back and look at how much money has been devoted to increasing teacher salaries and the salaries of other bargaining units, I think that, for three people to put a motion on the floor at the adoption of the budget without following the legal requirements of negotiation, doesn't meet the requirements of the law.
Well, let's see what Harvey has to say about that. Harvey identifies himself as someone whose wife is a teacher in Prince George's County. Harvey, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Kojo. Great to be here. I just wanted to call in and ask if there are any programs to try and encourage the administration of the schools to come from the bottom up. It seems like they're being executively managed and, as a result, mismanaged, because the people that are making decisions with regards to how schools are run, how punishment is handled, how tardiness and delinquency is handled and everything, it seems to come from the top down and sort of ignore the contributions that teachers themselves could make to these systemic problems that are very obviously affecting everything from the salary to also, you know, just general administration and maintaining student bodies and stuff like that.
Kevin Maxwell, how do teachers exercise or assert their influence?
So I think, you know, there are a number of ways. First of all, they have a bargaining unit, and they have a teacher association president and others. And, you know, there is communication between, you know, my folks and their folks. I'm not 100% sure what is meant by the discipline and, you know, some of those things. But a lot of what we do is guided by the State Department of Education in terms of requirements around suspensions, expulsions, you know, the requirements of time. We've been, you know, we have faculty advisory councils in most of our schools, if not all of our schools. So I think that, you know, conversation is important. And quite frankly, I spend a great deal of my time out in schools. And I talk to people in schools. I have conversations with teachers individually. I see people. I get emails from people. I run into people in the grocery store in the county that I grew up in. And so I do understand how it can look like it's coming, because boards are required to set policy and regulation, and we're required to do administrative procedures to implement those things. But I do think that there's an effort to have a dialogue with folks in the appropriate channels. And if teachers or others have concerns, they can certainly, again, if they can't address them at the school level, they can certainly, you know, send those forward for us to take a look at and have people examine.
The person who hired you, Rashern Baker, Prince George's County Executive, happens to be running for governor against the incumbent Larry Hogan. So I use this to contextualize what I am going to ask you next, because after an external review revealed inflated graduation rates in Prince George's County Public Schools, Governor Hogan called for your resignation. I'm just interested, what was your visceral response to that when you first heard it, knowing that your boss is running against this guy for his job?
So, you know, there have been a couple of times my resignation or firing has been called for. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, visceral requirements, I was actually in a hospital emergency room with one of my children when the most recent call for my firing came from the governor.
An environment in which no profanity was allowed. So go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, look, I'm a lifelong educator. I love children. I love this job. I grew up in Prince George's County. I came back to Prince George's County knowing that there were significant issues confronting the district. I think that, you know, it feels very personal, because indeed my county executive, a man who I respect greatly, is running for governor, and the governor is running for reelection. And to be you know, sort of targeted, I think, without having any questions asked, without having anybody, not the governor, not anybody on his staff, has reached out to ask for clarification, ask for questions. That audit that you speak about showed a lot of sloppy record keeping, a lot of people doing things that they should not have been doing. But it also says that there was no evidence of fraud, no evidence of intimidation, and we think that, you know, somebody should, you know, perhaps read the report and make sure they understand everything that's in it before they start making assumptions about it.
We're going to talk about the report some more later, but we're going to take a little time off. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Kevin Maxwell, Chief Executive Officer of Prince George's County Public Schools. I'm Kojo Namdi.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Hear the stories of these incredible scientists, activists, artists, and more throughout February on WAMU 88.5 and streaming at wamu.org.
Welcome back. Our guest is Kevin Maxwell. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Prince George's County Public Schools. You mentioned that you knew that Prince George's County Schools were challenged when you came back in this position. But the external review that we referred to earlier, which didn't find any indications of fraud, it found that almost one in four graduates had last-minute grade changes that may not have been justifiable. Almost 44% of students graduated even though they had too many absences. There were reports of improper documentation, you mentioned that, and overly lax grading. But why do you think that had been going on for so long? Why was it left to fester? Why was that problem not addressed sooner, or those problems, I should say?
So I think there are a couple of aspects to this. First of all, I would say to you that there have been questions as we look at it at a review. I was a long time, principal, assistant principal, teacher in Prince George's County, and I've been in a couple other districts too. Most of the assignment of grades and the certification of graduation and things are school level kinds of activities. They're guided by the grading reporting periods, when grades have to be entered, when things have to be done. There's an appeals process at the school level. For example, if a student doesn't get a progress report or a failure notice and they're failed anyway, and parents can come in and appeal those. A lot of that's school level. But I think that, over time, and I know, it's hard maybe to understand that, but when you have, the kind of turnover in leadership positions, both at the school level and in the, district level that Prince George's County has had, a lot of things get lost. That institutional knowledge, that history is not there. And I can tell you that I talked with, somebody in the guidance and counseling division just today about a student from 2002 that graduated from Prince George's County that's struggling with taking an online course at a higher education institution because of how they see his transcript. So this graduation certification issue has apparently, been having some issues. And I appreciate when people give us that information. I wish that they would continue to give us the information in the channels that help us address it instead of, going about it in such a way where it becomes, politicized and it becomes, harder to manage. The hotline that we have, every one of those complaints and concerns that come in work very, very well. And we get better by hearing about it. That's what audits are about. We have internal audits. We have external audits. We have Office of Legislative Audits. There's a lot of audits. MSDE comes in and does audits. And I think that we get better when we hear that there are concerns. But, being allowed to fester, I will tell you that, the graduation certification came to an issue, came to us because of an audit. Some of the individual school issues that we've been dealing with came to us through hotline complaints, but I don't have the capacity with the role that I play to go in and sit down and review student records.
Allowing students to graduate who shouldn't, grade tampering, these are problems of academic integrity, but I'm sure some people are also wondering, if schools were to clamp down on all those policies, all those system deficiencies, does it mean that those schools would be failing a large portion of the senior class? And what would happen to those students?
So I think, there are a number of issues, related to that. I think that it's certainly possible that you do that. What we've been, trying to do with the information that we have is make those adjustments. We've been very, very focused this year on the class of 2018. We've gone in and we've taken a look at first quarter grade changes, for example. We are in the process of putting out an RFP or discussing an RFP for a follow-up audit to make sure that we've corrected things and focusing very, very strongly again on making sure that the class of 2018 has what they need. There are kids who are constant truants and they're not really good reasons for it, but there are also children, that miss school for some pretty legitimate reasons and have some pretty challenging circumstances themselves. And so I think you have to look at it, and evaluate it and see, what the circumstances are and whether or not it warrants not graduating or graduating. And I think that we want to do right by our children. And again, as a principal, I'll tell you, I was in a much better position to understand those things and deal with them than the central office was.
Speaking of right, in your view, are there schools that are getting it right? What are they doing differently, and how can schools that are struggling learn from them?
So I do think that there are schools that are doing better than others. And I think that part of that is, understanding really the process. So, you know, with the changing of grades, for example, if there's a dispute or an issue related to a grade, there is a process in place where the school instructional team comes together and looks at it. And some schools have been really, really good about that, and other schools have been not. And so we've been doing a tremendous amount of training this year with counselors, with grade change managers, with principals. We've changed the role and function of many of the people that are involved in this. We've made sure that there's a separation of duty. The people who request a grade change can't be the same people who approve and enter the grade change. Making sure that separation of duty helps there be a questioning process that goes along with the grade change. And I think that all of those things coming together will help. But we've been really focused on the training piece and making sure that we have been monitoring in a much more aggressive fashion.
The Maryland Board of Education is putting a full-time state employee in Prince George's County Public Schools to basically make sure schools follow the proper policies. Will this employee act as an independent auditor, or will that employee be working with the school district in some kind of way?
So I think, the Maryland State Department of Education, the state superintendent, her staff have been, really great professionals and very good. I mean, they did the audit and things, so I'm not sure collaboration is quite the right way, but they certainly are responsive and able to answer questions. That I'm not sure that the entire role is there. I understand they want to make sure they get feedback. Feedback is in the plan that we submitted to the state board. We've been, trying to make sure that we get the data and that we are transparent about that data, posting things, making sure that we share with the board. So exactly how that's going to play out, I think, is still not 100% decided. But, if the state wants to invest in that, I mean, I think there's certainly a conversation that will be had around how that role plays out.
Here's Mel in Hyattsville, Maryland. Mel, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just wanted to relate kind of an intriguing experience for myself. I am. I have a graduate degree in education, as a doctorate and a master's degree in education, elementary education, and general education administration and policy. I have applied more than 100 times to the PG County HR site. At every level, I've worked at the federal government as a program evaluator at the U.S. Department of Education, as an evaluator, as a teacher, as an assistant teacher, and including as a bus driver. And of all of the things that I have applied to, and almost more than maybe about 101, it became an experiment for me. I'm a researcher. I do a lot of work on...
We don't have a lot of time left. You're going to have to tell us how this all ends.
Well, I got in for the bus driver position, but none of the others. And I find that curious, because when I respond to the questions, as in the knowledge and skill questions, I fly in and I'm all good, and then nobody ever calls me back.
You have to be aware that Kevin Maxwell is unlikely to be familiar with your specific situation, unless maybe he is, I don't know. But what is the process by which somebody who clearly wants to become a teacher in the system?
So I'm pretty sure Mel is aware of that process, but you can apply online, and you should be getting a response that they've received the application. There's a certification requirement. People who apply for a teaching job, even if they've taught at other places and worked in other places, they have to be able to have a certificate issued by the state of Maryland, which has certain requirements. And again, not knowing those things in this case, I can't really respond to them. But I can say that if you want to send a resume and a note to me at ceo@pgcps.org, I would be happy to have my HR department contact you. I will comment, though, on the bus driver offer. There is a huge shortage of people with commercial driver's licenses. So for anybody that's listening, if you have one, we've been running twice monthly job fairs to try to get the number of people that we need to drive our school buses. We have a huge school bus fleet. We'd be happy to have you. So it doesn't surprise me that they offered you a bus driver position if you hold a a CDL license.
Only have time for one more. You were appointed a CEO by County Executive Rashawn Baker in 2013. Last year, he reappointed you for another four-year term. The county executive who is running for governor obviously has confidence in you. What would you say to parents about why they should have confidence in your leadership?
So I think it's a really great question, Kojo. And let me say that, you know, we've talked about just a couple of issues right here, but there's a great deal more going on in Prince George's County Public Schools. And I'd actually like to invite you, Kojo, to come to Prince George's County to see some of the things that are going on, because it would be great if we could have a dialogue about the great things that are going on, the expansion that we've done in dual enrollment with children getting college credit while they're there, the pathways to early college high school programs that we have, the Academy of Health Sciences, which is graduating 100 students a year with a high school diploma and an associate's degree, and the Teacher Academy that we just started, the expansion that we've done in dual immersion and the expansion of world language instruction, the Posse Scholars that just in the few years that I've been back as CEO who have garnished $4.2 million in full-ride scholarships to some of the finest universities in the United States of America. There are a tremendous number of wonderful things going on in our school district. And I'll be at a culinary competition and a robotics competition on Saturday. And I was at a very powerful student leadership and student program about gun violence just yesterday. Great things going on in our schools.
Well, if I come to visit, you know, I'm going to bring a WMU education reporter with me, and you know how they roll. They not only look at what's working right, they look at what's not working right, so you may regret the invitation, but I certainly thank you for offering it. Kevin Maxwell, he is Chief Executive Officer of Prince George's County Public Schools. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you. I look forward to coming back.
Thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.